sing this out. Oh, now by this we'll overcome. Oh, now by this we'll reach our own. Now our sins and shame are gone. Only by your royal blood. Now by this we'll overcome.
This morning, when Todd first asked me to do this song, I was like, no, that's an old song, and it's a man song, and wasn't really feeling it. And then God spoke to me. You know, it's not always about us. And he reminded me of a time where we were at this church 12 years ago, and my husband had just had major back surgery, and he backslid into addiction and pills, and the Lord was dealing with him. He was getting help, and I was here with my kids, and my daughter was about 2 at the time. And this song came on, and it ministered to her as a 2-year-old, and she was raising her hands and singing. And it just reminded me of that time where he didn't let go. And here we are 20 years later, and the Lord has just done so many miraculous, 12 years later. Anyway, my point is, he never lets go, and this song is still relevant today. Amen. And if you would let him, he will heal your heart, he will heal your circumstances, and he will restore anything the devil has stolen. So right now, I just pray that you would just let this song, this old song, but not an old Jesus, and he will minister to you.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back. I know you are near. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my
He's worthy. Worthy, Lord.
Your life in me.
You need to declare it and speak it and know it. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is worthy. He loves us beyond our comprehension. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just fill every person in this building, God, that you would rest them in your love, Lord. God, that you would just open their eyes and give them revelation of who you are, God. Beyond what we can even comprehend, God, a revelation only you can give, Lord. Show us, Lord. Give us revelation. God, we praise you. Let's declare it again. Yeah.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up.
Romans chapter 8 says, what shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? And the writer of Romans goes on to say, absolutely nothing. He says different things. So I'm here asking you this morning, what can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus? You're thinking, well, my sin, first of all. You don't know me, Todd. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. Because nothing can separate you from His love. Even if you walk away from Him, and go, God, I don't want anything to do with you, His love is still there. Because He cannot deny who He is. So we sing this next song. It's called Chaotic Love. A lot of times in my life, the love of God seems so chaotic. But as you get older, you're able to look back and you can see how God's love was consistent all the way through. I may have been inconsistent. I may have been up and down, but His love was never up or down. It was always there. So as we sing it from your heart. I feel you so close to me. I can hardly move or breathe. I can feel your presence all around. I fall knees down to the ground. Come on, sing it, church. You're the one that really matters. 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 I know I've not been found. Cares of life can hold me down. Maybe that's you this morning. Fix your gaze on Him. 'Cause you're the one I want to please. What matters now is what you think. It's what He thinks. Come on. You're the one that really matters. Yes, you are, Lord. You're the one that really matters. You're the one that really matters. Yes, you are, Lord. You're the one that really matters. I know I've been found. I know that I have been found. The cares of this life can't hold me down. Come on, declare it with me. Come on, declare it. 'Cause you're the one I want to please. What matters now is what you think. You're the one that really matters. When love takes a hold of your life, be it romantically, be it in the spiritual sense with God, there's something that happens inside of you. I remember being that teenager in seventh grade and giving gifts to my girlfriend because I couldn't help myself. I couldn't think about anything else. And that's where it ought to be with our relationship with God, but on such a greater level that my mind, my heart, I am consumed with Him all the time. And it is true that the enemy is trying to constantly get our eyes and our affections off of Him. Why? Because he knows if he gets our eyes off of Him, he can do whatever he wants to. But if we keep our eyes fixed on Him, we'll be able to say with this next line that I can't help but scream about how His love came in and messed me up. And now I can truly say it is a chaotic love that has changed me, and I will never, ever be the same because of that. So sing it out with me, that I can't help, yeah. Oh, reach out to him right now.
You're the one that really matters. If you've ever been in a courtroom for because you got a ticket or you got in trouble or something happened, then you know that when you walk into that courtroom, when you stand on trial, it doesn't matter what anybody else's opinion is in that room. Some, you know, your mom and them are in the back. Well, I think he's a good person. I think you should let him go. I don't think he deserves it. Doesn't matter whose opinion you hear. You know the only opinion that matters in that room is the opinion of the judge sitting on that seat. I watched a movie last night. God, I can only imagine. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to go see it. It was awesome. But it was the beauty. I was just crying at the awesomeness and the beauty of forgiveness and what it does. Because one of the things, I went through a lot of emotions, but one of them was I imagined my own life, at the end of my own life, having to give an account before a judge and knowing what I'm bringing to the table, my own actions, my own thoughts, that knowing that if that judge is just a little bit just, if he cares about justice at all, it doesn't matter how much he loves me, he's going to have to say, you know what I have to do, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. If he's justice, I'm going to get what I deserve. But the beauty of it all is that in Jesus, Jesus made forgiveness possible for me. That the judge could be just in saying, you know what? I forgive you. Woo! That the judge is the only opinion that matters about my life, and the judge's opinion is that I think what Jesus Christ did was enough for you, so I can declare you clean. And now, the voice of that judge, the voice of that father, that loving father, now defines my life. It's that opinion that matters, not the fear that's trying to grip my heart. It's that opinion that matters, not the worries and the cares and the depression and the pride and the other voices that are trying to grip my heart. Come on, let's take a second and recognize that voice, that opinion. God, I pray that we'll recognize your love, that we'll recognize your voice, that we'll be able to pick out the lies of the enemy that try to distract us away from the same love that won our hearts, is the love that's going to lead us and guide us into all that you've called us to, that we'll be attendant towards that love and that voice, God. I pray that that'll become a reality in our lives, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the stories in this very room that were only made possible because of a great and chaotic and reckless love of God. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give him a hand. Look, as you're sitting down, before you sit down, I'd love for you to turn to your neighbor, look them directly in their eye sockets and say, how you doing? How you doing? It's funny to put a little accent in it, especially if you're trying to use Siri. It is funny. You forget not everybody talks like us. You try to get Siri to take you somewhere. My wife and I went to a restaurant. Yesterday, we went to a restaurant yesterday. It was her birthday Friday. She loves breakfast, so we go to this breakfast spot, which is awesome. By the way, breakfast is so much cheaper than dinner. Whew, scored on that one, right? So we're going to this place in Mandeville called Liz's Where You At Diner. Okay, it's just a little hole-in-the-wall diner. Nothing extravagant about the building. But Siri, poor Siri, every time she'd say it, she was on the front seat of the struggle bus. Trying to say the name of this restaurant. Liz's Where You At Diner. 2 miles to Liz's Where Why At Diner. It was sad. It was sad. But I'm thankful we all understand each other. And I hope you're glad to be here this morning. I'm glad to be here this morning. If this is your first time here, man, we want to give you a special welcome. And we hope that you feel safe and comfortable and here. Our real prayer is that you feel at home here, that you just feel safe and at home here. That really is the way that we pray that you experience your time here at Resurrection Life. And we usually wait till after the first week till we introduce the crazy uncles to you, but that's okay. You know they're there. You know they're there. If this is your first time, we ask that you go out those double doors in the back, turn to the left. We've got a little gift we'd like to give for you, a little card with some information we'd like you to fill out. Nothing big, you know, just social security number, date of birth, that kind of stuff. No big deal. Let's give a hand for all of our first-time visitors. All right, let's take a look at our RLM minute.
Attention all Covenant kids and youth. On the week of spring break, there will be no service on April 4th. But stay tuned, because that week will have special events happening for our youth. Part of Resurrection Life's DNA is that we believe that we can affect change in our world. That is why every year we have a week of prayer and fasting. This year's week of prayer and fasting will happen the week of April the 16th. On Monday, we will be having scripture reading all day long. If you would like to be a part of that, then please sign up in the next couple of weeks. And Tuesday, we'll have worship all day long in the sanctuary. If you'd like to be a part of that, make sure you see me. And on Wednesday night, we will have the whole church meet together at 7 p.m. Youth and children will be joining for a night of worship and intercession. And Thursday night will be a night of healing. So if you know someone that needs to be healed, have them here. So mark your calendars now, April 16th through the 22nd, for this awesome time of prayer. Hey ladies, if you're 13 years and older, on Saturday, April the 14th, is Girls Day Out at the Farmers Market in New Orleans. If you'd like to go, show up here that day at 7 a.m.
Hey everyone, me and the big guy here would like to remind you about Palm Sunday coming up. We got some special stuff planned, and we're going to start early. So please, don't be late.
Hey, like my boat.
Jamie got it for me.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I'm asking you to do something special. I'm asking you to, God, just speak to us. I'm praying you'll set people free today. I'm praying that the enemy will be exposed today. I'm praying that truth will tear down the walls of lies. God, I just ask you to show us who and what you are, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you a couple things to think about today, but I really want you to take notes, because I want you to write some thoughts down. And you need to. When, you know, I come to church, everywhere I go to church, and I'm listening somewhere, I bring my journal. And man, if God just speaks to you one thought, man, that is worth coming. All right? Now, I've been trying lately to take you on a journey. And I've been trying to, because if you don't know who you are, you will always settle for less than you are. Kind of like if I told you that I had $10 million for you in the bank, it's in your name, it's yours. But I never tell you that. And you don't know that. And you keep going through the motions of trying to just live from hand to mouth and doing the best you can and all that. You see what I'm saying? If you don't know who you are, you will never, first of all, believe that you can do what He says He can. You'll not set the bar high enough for yourself. You'll always leave stuff on the table. You'll always wallow in insecurity and wallow in self-pity and victims and all that stuff if you don't understand. Now, to know who you are, first of all, you got to know who He is. And we started our journey with God, learning who He is. We started, who am I? I'm His child. What does that mean? Then we learned who you are. We started talking about some things about you personally. If I am a Christian, how many of you are Christians in here? You sure? All right. If you're not a Christian, just hang on. I'll get to you in a little while, okay? But to Christians, you need to understand, because if you don't know, you'll put up with stuff that you don't have to put up with. Let me just give you a quick example. See, some of you parents hadn't figured out that you're in charge. And you putting up with a lot of garbage you don't have to. I'm in charge of my house. Them knotheads don't run it. And you go, oh, well. Because, see, the difference between me and you, I'm not here to be their friend. I'm here to be their father. I'll be their friend when they get old and pay taxes. Can I get a witness? Amen. I want all my children to get jobs, pay taxes, so I can have Social Security and live on them. But you understand, if you don't know that, you'll always settle for less. And so that's why today we're going to take one more step and kind of get into the ugly part of it. Maybe the part we don't like, but it's still just as true of what we're in, the state we're in, of where we are and what we've got to do. Because who am I? I am a warrior right dab in the middle of a war, of an all-out war. That's who we are. That's who you are. Well, Brother Allen, I'm a lover, not a fighter. Sorry. You don't get to choose. You are in the middle. The first thing you have to take, and listen, if I get passionate today, because I am passionate, because I'm sick to death of watching people get slaughtered by Satan. I'm sick to death of the Christians being lonely and feeling lonely and feeling left and feeling insecure and victims. We are not victims. We are overcomers. This verse says, the first verse we read, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not, what? If you don't hear anything else, let this stir you up. And I'm going to try in just a minute to make you mad. I hope I do. I'm serious. I hope he get you mad, get you kind of... We are at war. You can't escape it. You can't move to Utah and get out of it. You can't find you an island and it not show up there. You are in the middle of a spiritual war that is going on right now. For you, your children, you know, Satan doesn't play fair. He's trying to get your 6-year-old and your 8-year-old addicted to pornography. He wants your children to smoke dope and do all that. He wants them to lose their virginity at 10 and 11. Why? He doesn't play fair. He's at war with you and wants to destroy everything about you. You better wake up and realize this is a real war. He ain't just trying to get you in trouble. He is trying to destroy you. And some of you don't believe it. You're still trying to reason. This is a real war. It's a long time war. And the enemy hates you. You don't believe it? Let's let God's word convict you. So that you'll wake up. Look at Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. It says this. I will put. Who's talking there? God. I will put enmity between you. Who's he talking to? Satan. Talking to Satan. I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. And she shall bruise your head, and you're going to bruise her heel. Always going to be nipping at her heels. Now, the key word there, you better understand what enmity means. Enmity in the Hebrew, enmity in the Greek, means deep-seated, born into hatred. It's not something that you did something to me and so I hate you. I was born into hating you. It's kind of like the Muslims and the Jews. The Bible says there will always be enmity between Ishmael and Isaac. Do you understand? It's an unreasonable hatred. You're not going to figure your way. You're not going to talk them out of it. You're not going to talk Satan out of it. You're not going to say, look, I'll leave you alone, you leave me alone. You're not going to talk him out of it. He gets up every morning joyously to try to hurt you and destroy you. God said it was going to be there. And you better wake up and understand you're at a war. He doesn't play fair. He is coming after you. And the more you whine about it, the more he likes it. Again, I don't like to recommend movies, but there's a funny movie. It ain't funny. It's a movie. It's the only one Vietnam movie I've seen with honor. Had a little bit of honor in it. And I hope, if you don't hear anything else I say, I hope you hear that first point. You're at war, and you better wake up. But the enemy's about to overrun the base camp, the home camp. And we were soldiers. And the enemy, and they had this reporter who came to take pictures. You know how reporters are embedded in warfare now. And he's taking pictures, and the enemy's overrunning all of them. And Sam Elliott, the sergeant major, all like this, just mean as he can be. He threw the boy a rifle and some ammunition. He said, prepare to defend yourself. He said, sir, I'm a non-combative. I'm a paper guy. I'm not here. And he looked at him and said, boy, there ain't no such thing today. You better wake up and realize. See, we're worried about the American dream. We're worried about all these other things. We're worried about trying to pay for the next car. And I understand that. I get it. But you better wake up and realize there is an enemy that has real stuff, real war. It's really thing, and he's really trying to destroy your children, your grandchildren, everything good in your life. He wants to make you have pain. I don't think you're getting through. Come here, Amy. Let me borrow you. Everybody loves Amy. This is Amy. Amy has had to endure watching many Nerf wars. Okay, Amy. We're going to have a Nerf war, me and you. Okay. Well, see, and the more you whine about it, Oh. Is there more? I just told her we were going to do an illustration. I needed her. And see, the more she whines about it, I don't care. It don't matter if she cries. The more she flinches. And see, it don't no matter where she goes because I can come there too. And I'm okay. And if she cries, I like it better. There's only, listen to me. It doesn't matter where she goes. Do you understand? Everybody look at me. Now see, some of you, I can feel your thoughts right now. Some of you women are going, I'm about to go up there, and you know, you want to. And what are y'all, all of you are saying, Amy, why don't you pick up that gun? Seems like heaven's saying the same thing to us. He ain't going nowhere, and you can't make me stop. In fact, the madder you get, the more I like it. But what she can do is she can realize I'm in a war. And she can decide, I'm going to pick up. Yeah. This illustration might have went bad right there. She can do is, she can decide, okay, I'm in a war. I need to pick up the weapons of my warfare. Now, before you start shooting me, understand this. Look, her weapons are better than my weapons. You know how to do it? You see what I'm saying? See? You just keep firing. Are you seeing what I'm saying? She had no choice. She had no choice. I ain't going to stop. Look at me. Satan ain't going, he's coming after your grandchildren. Why are you not interceding for them? He's coming after our community. Why are you helping him by cursing him? Yeah, that's cheating. All right, you did good, baby. I used Amy because I knew y'all get madder if I was shooting her. Do you understand? And the last thing I want to tell you about this real war, there are real casualties. Look at me now. There are teenagers taking their lives because of this war. You ain't going to legislate and get the guns and take away their suicide spirit. There are things going on. Satan's trying to destroy your marriage. He's trying to do all those things. He's trying to get pastors, all of this stuff to happen, to go down, because you won't go down just by yourself. You'll take somebody with you. There are real casualties, real war. Satan is really destroying lives. Anybody want to argue that? You think it's a physical issue? You think it's a government issue? No, it's a spiritual. The spirit world is what's pulling the strings. We just play everything out in the flesh. Does that make sense? So we better wake up and realize, man, I am in a war and there is nowhere that I can get away from it. I cannot homeschool my children and keep them from the bad world and Satan not get to them. He is a spiritual being, and he's coming after you. He's coming after them with such vengeance. You only have one choice. Stand up and take the weapons of your warfare as a Christian. Now, there's a couple things I want you to learn about this. There are real casualties. Anybody in here know anybody that's OD'd? Anybody here know anybody that's gotten a brutal divorce because of infidelity, because of this? Anybody know anybody hooked on pills and all? Anybody know anybody that's so insecure they'll do anything? That your anger and got all these other problems. Well, let me talk to you about that. This next thing it talks about in verse 3, if you look at verse 3, it says, first of all, we are at war. But it says, not that one, excuse me, back to verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, I got to live in the flesh, I cannot war according to the flesh. I'm in this spiritual war. Okay? Are you listening? Everybody look at me. I'm in this spiritual war. But I can't win this war in the flesh. I can't go whip somebody. I can't go find the devil and beat him. I can't go stop I don't want my money going to casinos and all that stuff, but I can't go find somebody and whip them and make it stop. It ain't going to happen. Does that make sense? So, I've got to understand, even in verse Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, 12 says this, same thing. Bible's repeating itself. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness, spiritual hosts, heavenly hosts, heavenly places. Okay? The battle is not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle, and the battle all starts in your mind. Now we're going to start right there. It is important what you meditate on, what you think on. It all starts right here. You know, the warfare begins here. How do we know that? The original sin, the verse, put the verses back up, 1 Corinthians. Put that back up. I want to show you this word. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. Arguments. That word there in the Greek means computations, figures, facts. Reasoning. See, Satan appeals to our reason. You don't have to take that. What do you do to Eve? What do you say to Eve? Eve, God's holding out on you. He knows if you eat that. Look, if you live your life, some of you don't tithe. You don't tithe. Why? Because you've listened, oh, man, I can't make it if I tithe. Some of you marry. I know people that have married the wrong person simply because they believed, well, I'm going to be lonely. I just settle right here because at least I'll have somebody. You see how those lies work? And they destroy everything. The battle is in your mind, in imagination, in thoughts. Why do you think pornography is so rampant? It is playing in Satan's backyard. That's where he deals in imagination. How can my wife ever compete with a fantasy? You cannot. And the more I allow Satan's lies to stay there, the longer the destruction and the deeper the destruction. Now, Satan wants to replace truth with facts. He does it through thoughts. Just like this one. How about this one? You know, nobody loves me. Well, you might not feel loved right at that moment. Somebody might be treating you bad, but is that might be a fact at that second, but it's not the truth, is it? Because God's Word says, yes, you're loved by the Most High God. You see how it works? I just picked that one. I got to take care of myself. Nobody else is going to take care of me. See, you believe that lie, you'll always be a self-centered, selfish person. And you'll destroy every good relationship you have. Now, I want to attack this word strongholds. I want you to walk through. I'm trying to be slow and not go crazy because I want you to get this. And I want you to write it down because you got to recognize it in your life. Okay? First of all, how do strongholds act? It says that we're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Let's start there. That's the first one he listed. They start there. First of all, to have a stronghold, the first thing you've got to do is believe a lie. You've got to believe a lie. All strongholds are based on a lie. Like, I know a bunch of jealous husbands. They have no reason, but they're convinced their wife is cheating on them. Can't talk them out of it. Can't say, well, what proof do you have? None. They believed a lie that Satan has told them. Anybody ever had a bad week in your marriage? Yeah. I'm about to have one after I hit her in the face. I try not to, but it, anyway. It begins with a lie. Okay, say me and Amy are not arguers. We don't holler and cuss at each other and all that. We say little phrases and pause and kind of walk away and be silent. You know, little, well, if that's what's in your heart, go ahead. And then just walk away in silence. Yeah, you know. Anyway. So, listen. So, in the midst of, I mean, like, we have a great marriage, but, you know, every day ain't roses and strawberries, you know. It's in those hard times, Satan comes to you and says, see? What about that girl? You know, she's being awful nice to you. Your wife's lost that loving feeling. Then you start listening to, you know, 101.9 and hear all the oldies. And then all of a sudden the Commodores comes on. That's why I'm easy. You know, girl, I'm leaving you tomorrow. Start listening to the songs. Now, see, y'all are giggling and laughing. But I'm telling you right now, how is it that I have friends that were God-loving, God-fearing, devil-chasing friends that love God with every core of their being, that I walked with, and then I hear that 10 years later they have an affair with their secretary? How does that happen? Y'all are all giggling. I'm telling you, it happens just like that. Satan ain't trying to get me to look at pictures in my mind. He's trying to destroy the good things in my life. And if I meditate and I believe a lie, I will wind up having a stronghold that will control my life. You better wake up. Every time there's a lie around, right behind it comes fear. Fear drives you. You start being, when you believe a lie, you're afraid of something now. I'm going to be left out. I'm going to be, I can't have as much fun as I used to. I'll never forgive. Because if I forgive them, here's a big lie of Satan. I hope you understand what I'm doing. I'm just throwing out things that I know Satan lies to us about. Use them as examples. Here's one of the biggest. If I forgive him, then that means I condone what he did. That's a lie. You're not condoning it. You just forgive. But then I began to be afraid. Well, my life's slipping away, so I need to run off and find myself. How about this one? I married early. I didn't get a chance to sow any wild oats. So now in my late 40s, I'm going to unbutton my shirt and wear chains and get a little sports car and wear a man girdle and y'all are laughing, but I am so much on the real farm right now, it's scary. Some of you are like, please don't look at me. But you got to understand, it is a lie from the enemy. And once you get afraid, I'm missing out. What did he tell Eve? You're missing out. She believed it and became afraid. God is holding out on me. Life is better on the other side. You see how that works? Once fear gets there, oh my Lord, then we always produce an idol. We set goals. Behind every fear, once fear rolls in, there's an idol. We set that goal, we worship at it, and we say, I'm going after that. Whatever it is ain't God. Fear's driving you. I got to get there. Once you have an idol, it is impossible to trust God in any area. It's impossible to trust God. And this whole thing, this whole Christian walk is based on what? Faith. Trusting God. Trusting His heart. I can't trust someone that I don't believe in because I've believed a lie and I can't trust His Word. I'm certainly not going to live out His Word. And that's how strongholds. And one psychologist will call these mental traps. Is what, if you go pay a psychologist $300 an hour, look, you give me $100, I'll tell you the same thing. They're mental traps. And what you do is you believe a lie. You know, well, you know, all this, all men are like this, all women are like this. You believe a lie, and once anything comes close, it's like a funnel. You just start, it brings you back to the same conclusion. It's a mental trap. And what you need to understand is, it's all built on a lie. And the next thing it talks about is high things. That's pride. That's when you say things like, I can defeat Satan on my own. Or this one, where my opinion is better than that of God. This is where you hear things, and I hear it all the time, and I'm going to try not to scream and get angry, okay? But I hear it all the time, and it drives me nuts. I ain't got no problem, Brother Allen. I got this under control. I can quit these pills anytime I want to. Well, do it. Well, I don't want to because you're addicted. I got this under control. This is where we say things like, this is where you hear yourself. And when you hear it from other people, you need to take a step back and go, whoa, I'll never let that happen to me. I'll never do that. I'll never fall into that sin. How many child abusers were abused children? About 97%. The very thing they hated, they became. Why? They believed a lie. You will wind up doing things you said you never do if you believe a lie. That's why it's important. Anytime you elevate, what did it say in our verse? It says, every high thing that exalts itself against what I know about God. You know why there's so many churches now that are totally altering the Bible? The reason is they have high things. They exalted themselves against what they know about God, so they have decided we're just going to change God and make God answer to our opinion. Homosexuality is okay. We say it is, and so we're going to take that out of the Bible and it ain't in there. Doing drugs, being mean, lying. I know people that do their business, and here's what they say to me. Brother Allen, church is church. Business is business. That's every high thing. God says He wants to be involved in every part of your life. He's got things He wants you to do in every part of your life. But, you know, I got to get ahead, believe a lie. To get ahead, I got to do business like this. So, you know, God, I'm gonna match. I'm going to bring down. And God, it's okay. And then all of a sudden, you're living a nightmare where Satan is stealing everything good in your life. And you get mad at God and say, where is He? Anytime, listen, you're three to, you're, look at, since I'm stirring up, I'll just, you're three decisions away from being in total chaos in your life. And if you think you can't get there, if you think that, you are deceived already. You're well on your way. Let me tell you, every horrible sin that has been done in man is in my flesh. And yours. That's why we don't live according to the flesh. I have the ability, if I start believing a lie, and it all starts right here. If I start believing a lie, I'll wind up doing everything I said I wouldn't do. That's how powerful it is. That's how the destruction goes. Now let's get to the good part real quick. What are the weapons of our warfare? What do you say about them right off? They're mighty. Everybody say mighty. They're mighty. You know what that word mighty means? It means powerful, capable, able. My God is able. He is able. He ain't scared of the devil. He is able. Everybody say able to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. Now, let me walk through these. And look, I am omitting some on purpose. Like, I know that prayer is a weapon of our warfare. But we're having a week of prayer and fasting in a few weeks, so I thought I'd hold on to that one and just give it its own sermon. I know that worship is a warfare. See, some of you come and don't come for the singing. I don't much like all that singing. It's too loud, people jumping around. You have no clue. The worship is more important than my word. That's the way I believe. And I'm the preacher. Man, worship is a warfare. We'll find out about that next week. Don't get me started preaching my sermon now. We'll be here for a long time. Here's what I want you to understand. There are weapons. And look, everybody look at me. Remember our illustration? Amy had one choice. Look at me. You only have one choice in this warfare. One. You can either stand there and just let Satan beat the crap into you. Or you can pick up your weapons of your warfare. Now, number one is God's Word, which is the truth. The truth. God's Word. God's Word. The weapons of our warfare. All right? Look at these two verses. Write these down. Memorize them. Understand what it means. God is telling you. Hebrews 4:12 says this. It says, for the Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing the soul and spirit. Look what he says. Look at it. Discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. Look at me. You cannot identify a lie if you don't know what the truth is. How about this one? Let me throw a couple I hear all the time. Well, brother, I don't need church to find God. You know, I can have my own relationship with God. I don't need to come to church. I don't need, you know, God speaks to me at home. I don't need church. That sounds good, doesn't it? The only thing is, it's just a flat out stupid lie. Because God says, the truth says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Bear one another's burdens. Have the prayer of agreement. All these different things. Help one another. Talking about the church. All these different things. God says do that. But see, we convince ourselves to believe a lie. And when Satan isolates you, it's only a matter of time before he cuts your legs off. See how that works? That's why you got to know God's word. Look at the next verse. Look at his next one. See, listen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable. Profitable for correction, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Do you understand that when you read the word in your home, just by reading the word, it will correct your children? That spirit about the way it handles. These are not facts. These are the truth. You need to read the word out loud in your home. You need to meditate on it. You need to know what God says so that you can stand on that even when facts point otherwise. Like this one. The facts are, Satan's trying to destroy the church. He's doing a pretty good job. He's kicked out of school. We can't say Jesus no more. Ooh. Now see, if you believe why, what happens right behind it? Fear. And when you have fear, you'll make bad decisions out of fear. But the truth is, man, they've been trying to destroy Jesus since Jesus showed up. They just can't do it. In fact, they're having revival in Iran right now. Thousands are coming to Christ because they're seeing visions of a risen Lord and hearing a message, and they're risking their lives. There are 700 million Chinese Christians. They've been trying to put it out for years because the light will never be put out by darkness. Now, that's the truth. Now, see, when I say that, fear, I don't care who's elected. Well, yeah, they gonna steal my guns. Oh. Well, let's go buy five. Oh, my God, I got to protect myself. And this is how it works. I got to protect myself. I got to protect my children. Protect my food. It's all going to crash. I better buy 10 AR-15s with 20,000 rounds. Because you never know. The zombie apocalypse. Now, we're laughing about that, but that is driving people. Right now, people are buying guns that they don't need simply out of fear. Let me ask you something. Some hungry guy comes up to your house. You going to shoot him over food? Because let me tell you something. If I ain't got none and I know you got some, I'm bringing my family to your house. You going to shoot the pastor over food? I mean, that's a sure ticket to hell, isn't it? Shooting the pastor. Do you understand? Is there anything wrong with having a gun? No. Everything's wrong when it's motivated out of fear. Amen. Everything. Even your prayer life. Some of you are praying for your children out of fear instead of standing on the truth. Second one. the blood of the Lamb. Wow. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Boy, the Lord, I don't have time to develop this, but the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death, the blood of the Lamb. The Lord took me to Genesis. Just write this verse down. Took me to Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. And he took me there, and he said, listen to what the verse says. That's the verse where Cain had just killed Abel, and God said, Cain, where's your brother? And he said, am I my brother's keeper? And he said to him, the blood of your brother cries out to me. And all of a sudden, man, the Holy Spirit came on me, started connecting verses. Do you realize the spilt blood of Jesus Christ cries out to the Father? I mean, cries out to Him. They are mine. They are righteous. I paid for them. That's one of yours, Father. It cries out to Him. I plead the blood of Jesus over our children, over my wife. I pray for them because the blood cries out to the Father. Number three. Almost finished. The name of Jesus. Tried to get Todd to do an old Dennis Jernigan song. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. He is Lord. Listen. I'm just going to say this because I want to get to the last one. The name of Jesus. And see, if you would believe it, it would be that powerful to you. I watched a little boy who had a gun pulled on him use the name of Jesus and make that killer pimp, is what he was, because the killer pimp had his mama, and we were giving food away. It was, you know, you ever find yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time? When the gun came out and the pimp showed up, I went, man, I really just don't want to be here right now. And the little 8-year-old boy who had an experience with Jesus, he just said, in the name of Jesus, we walking out of here. And buddy, the guy went from, I'm going to kill you, to, we'll just get you blanky blank on out of here. I went, I'm with him, man. I'm with him. Do you realize there are people in hell that believe in the name of Jesus more than we do? I said that for effect. And I'm going to prove it. In the Bible, it says that he said, depart from me, I never knew you. And they get all upset and they go, whoa, wait a minute. Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal the sick in your name? Didn't we do those things in your name? He said, yeah, you did, and you believe my name was that powerful, but I never knew you. I never had a personal relationship with you. You never invited me into your heart. The name of Jesus, when Satan starts messing with my mind, I implore in the name of Jesus, Satan, that name that you're going to bow to, that we're going to laugh at you when they're chaining you up. We're going to go, that's the one, that name of Jesus that you're going to have to bow to before you get to Citadel. That name, now get out of my mind. It's powerful. I don't have time to go there. It probably should be a sermon on itself. The last one is obedience. Obedience puts you in a good spot. Are you hearing me? Obedience puts you in a good spot. God says there's a bomb over there. You need to move over here. Puts you in a good spot. Now, if I'm in obedience and he doesn't tell me and the bomb goes off and I'm standing there in obedience, guess what? I expect him to take care of me. Let me give you two examples, and then we're going to pray. I want to show you. It just puts you in a good position. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Don't make deals with God. Just obey. It is a weapon of your warfare. When I get myself in good spots, God fights battles for me. I just obey. In that movie, and I hate, I'm going to spoil it for some of y'all, but it don't bother me. Here's the deal. The kid grew up in an abusive home. He grew up with his dad beating him and his mama. And he runs off. He has his girl brings him to church and they, all this, and he gets saved and all that, but it's still an abusive home, and he never forgave his dad, and he runs off and starts singing in the band Mercy Me. And they're traveling all around trying to get a Christian deal gun. Well, he didn't know that his dad had gotten saved. Long story short, he goes back because the band begins to disintegrate because of his heart. And he goes back, and his dad said, his dad's trying to be nice. And all he said, "What is all this about? What do you mean making breakfast and all this? Let's talk about, you want me to not remember the time you beat me so bad that I had to sleep on my stomach because of my back and legs were so bleeding? Let's remember that, Dad." And his dad said, "I heard this preacher say, if he can forgive all these other people, he can forgive me." And he looked at his son and he said, "Son, can God forgive me?" And his boy went. You could tell there was a war going on. He said, "God can forgive you, Dad, but I won't." And it was not till, see, that's obedience. God says forgive. Not because you're condoning something, but you forgive because it releases you and puts you in a good place. When he finally released his dad, and said, "Dad, I forgive you," is when the anointing came on him and he wrote that song. And since then, they've had 21 number ones. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Obedience to what God... See, some of you are holding back your own financial blessing because you don't tithe. Because you believe a lie, can't do it. Some of you are holding back your own blessings of the Lord. You just won't be obedient. In your children, reading the Word, bringing the Word. Some of you know some things you're supposed to be doing. It will release the anointing of God when you become obedient. And the anointing of God pushes back all the walls. The anointing of God knocks down barriers. Let me give you one more example, and then we're going to pray. Are you listening? Please hear it. Dads, please listen to this. I had a man come to me very recently and say, "Brother Aaron, you talk about obedience to children, making your children obedient. You know one of the reasons I make my children obedient? Because I love them. At that movie, we took Matthew, he starts running, and he's running out in that street. There's a lot of cars, a lot of people. He's running out of the street. I went, 'Hey!' He knew my voice. He stopped immediately. Turned around and looked. Why? Because I didn't want him running out in traffic. I was looking down there. There was another family. A lady said, 'Hey, don't run out in traffic.' And he sped up. Now, thank God he didn't get hit. But which kid was in a better position to be blessed because of obedience? had a man come to me very recently and said, you know, I got my 7-year-old is just having a trouble with obedience. And he said, you know, he's starting to, I'll tell him to clean his room. I'll go up there and tell him to get dressed. He ain't dressed. And all these different things. He said, I really started thinking about it and praying about it. And he said, started crying because it's a big deal. I want my kid. Said, I don't know what to do because I started thinking, you know, there's some things I'm not obedient about. And, you know, how can I tell my kid to be obedient when I'm not obedient? And first thing I said, because he was believing a lie. All right? He is the authority in his household. That's given by God, not by his performance, but that's given by God. See, Satan was trying to use his past to get him to not take his place. I said, first of all, listen to me. Please hear this. The same spirits that minister to adults, just like we say there's no junior Holy Spirit, those same spirits minister to your children. Rebellion. See, if you don't get that rebellion, that's a spirit of rebellion. That same spirit that comes on you sometimes when you go, I don't want to do that. I know I'm supposed to, but I ain't. You know, I know they told me to. I'm supposed to go that way, but I ain't doing it. That's a spirit of rebellion trying to get you to make decisions, plant thoughts in your mind. Well, he does that to the children. Plays out on a different level, but it's the same spirit. It's spiritual warfare. And I was able to tell that guy, look, you pray and understand that Satan is coming after your children. Nobody has authority. See, this is the difference between the facts and the truth. Yeah, I am a dad that isn't perfect. I am not a perfect dad. But the truth is, God placed me in a spot where I have the spiritual authority in my home. Now, when Satan comes to me and says, oh, you ain't perfect, God gave me that authority, and now, a spirit of rebellion, in the name of Jesus, you can't have my son. I can't tell you how many times me and Amy prayed over them like that, and they instantly went and did what... But then he'll have you do stuff like write Proverbs. And I've had the Lord tell me, sometimes you need to whip him. Well, Micah, a bunch of us. But you understand what I'm saying. It isn't just, you got to hear the Lord. But see, I had to know the truth. When Satan's coming at me going, man, you're not perfect. You made mistakes. You did this. The truth is, I'm dad. God, nobody, not even the devil himself, has more authority in my home than me because God said I did. That's the truth. Right? And that's how you win the war. Because if I let that spirit of rebellion stay, not cleaning his room will turn into vandalizing and stealing or not staying married or jumping around from job to job, 7 or 8 job, because the boss ain't going to tell me what to do. Stupidest thing I ever heard. If you're the boss, that's what you do, is tell people what to do. Well, that boss ain't going to tell me what to do. Well, I don't even understand that. He's the boss. Gets paid more to tell you what to do. But see, we can't see it. Dads, I'm going to give you an assignment. If you will usher in the presence of God in your home, you will see a marked difference. I'm going to ask you to read Psalms 113 and just read it and pray over your family tonight. Turn everything off and just have a time where you read the Word out loud and as the authority of that home just simply by you reading it. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to tell them the background. Just read the Word of God, because Satan recognizes the Word of God. And he certainly recognizes it when it's given in authority. 113. You can do 112 too. They're both short. 112, 113. And I'm asking you to read it. Now, here's what I want to do.